This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Good morning. Great to see you all here this morning. I'm new to CIU. Moved here in June, and it's been a great chance to get to meet everybody and get to know CIU a little bit. I don't know if you're aware what a great place this is, but it is a great place. And if you've come here from other places, you might know that, but there really is something very special about CIU, and it's a real pleasure for me to be here. We're living down in the apartments. My son is here as a freshman, so we're like the perfect little CIU family that we got going on here. It's been great. One of the great things about CIU is chapel. One of the great things about CIU is chapel. Where I went to college, the whole school was never together. But my class, the class of 1884, my class was only together twice. Once at freshman orientation and once at graduation. So to have a time when you can come together as a community and worship and hear God's word is just a great thing. I hope you appreciate the opportunity that you have every day. And I hope that you come in expectant, not arrogant, expectant. What does God have for me today? In the music, in the preaching, in the conversation, it is just a great opportunity you have every day in chapel. I also want to do a little plug for the Italy trip that's coming up at spring break. I'll be going, my wife will be going along, and my doctoral degree is in ancient Christianity and Judaism, so I'm looking forward to visiting some of those sites and exploring some of those things with you. It'll be a great trip visiting Florence and Assisi and Rome, so I highly recommend if you can do that to become a part of that. We're going to have a great time. Are there any football fans in the audience? Notre Dame fans. Yay. Don't see any. It's depressing. Well, football is a fun sport. I enjoy watching it a lot. And one thing about football is that there's a thing called halftime. And, you know, you can go on YouTube and you can find halftime speeches by coaches. So whatever's happened in the first half, the coach gets the team together in the locker room and he gives them a great pep talk for the second half and how they should play in that second half. And as I was thinking about speaking today, it sort of hit me that we're sort of at the halfway point in the semester, maybe even a little beyond the halfway point, if you can believe it. That means the end of the semester is coming. We're charged up to go into the second half. And so I was thinking about what in Scripture would be similar to that, that we could find something that would help us as we go into the second half of the semester. And I sort of was directed towards Joshua chapter 1. So if you'll open your phones to Joshua 1. In some ways, what happens in Joshua 1 is a little pep talk for Joshua as there's a moment of pause in the Israelite journey as they are making their way in the journey that God has for them. So Joshua 1, chapter 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So you remember the context here that we have in Joshua 1. The people had been slaves in Egypt for hundreds of years. Moses had been chosen by God to lead them out of their bondage. God had inflicted some terrible plagues on the Egyptians in order to convince Pharaoh to let them go. They'd escaped through the Red Sea and then found themselves in the wilderness, where because of disobedience on their part and on the part of Moses, they're not permitted to enter the promised land. After Moses dies, Joshua takes over, and they find themselves on the eastern bank of the Jordan River, ready to enter the land. And at this very crucial point, God speaks to Joshua, and he prepares him to lead the people into the land. Three times in what God says to him, Joshua is exhorted to be strong and courageous. And I'd like to look at these exhortations and see about how we can apply them to ourselves as we move into the second half of our semester. It's a great thing. God doesn't just say, be strong and courageous for no apparent reason. He has reasons that he gives Joshua to provide him the reason that he should be able to act in this way. The first of these is in verse 6. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. God had made a promise to the Israelites in the past. And since he is faithful, Joshua can lead the people in a certain way. It's certainly not the fact that since the people had been faithful to God, they could act in a certain way. In fact, it's quite the opposite. The people had been tremendously ungrateful to God throughout their journey. Remember back in Exodus 14, Pharaoh had changed his mind about letting the people go, and he sends the army out to try to get them back. And the people's response to Moses in Exodus 14:11 is, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. So having seen God's miraculous work on their behalf, having been freed from oppression, as soon as a problem crops up, they reject God. And as I've read the Old Testament, I'm sure as you've read the Old Testament, you find yourself sort of shaking your head, thinking, those people are just terrible. But then you realize that's really sort of the constant state of humanity, isn't it? We've been given so much. God has done so much on our behalf. And yet at times when we face problems, we blame him and we turn our backs on him. So God doesn't say, since you've always been so faithful to me, you can be strong and courageous. He says, because I made a promise to you, you can be strong and courageous. Don't you love it when somebody keeps a promise to you? I mean, do you know those people that if they say, I'll be there at 8 o'clock to pick you up, they're there at 8 o'clock to pick you up? When you're working with someone who you can trust in that sense, you can plan in a certain way. If you make plans with people that you can't really trust, whose promise is not good, then you have to have backup plans. You have to figure out, what am I going to do? Because there's only a 50-50 shot that this promise is going to be fulfilled. So when you have a promise that you can depend on, it affects the way that you can plan and the way that you can act. God keeps his promises. so we can be strong and courageous. The second reason Joshua can be strong and courageous is in verse 7. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to apply all the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. And I think the point here is that Joshua could be strong and courageous because he lived his life according to the standards given by God. We might say he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. In many ancient religions, people never really knew what the so-called gods wanted them to do or what those gods expected from them. This is why you had to kill a chicken, rip out its intestines, put it on a plate, try to read it, and determine, well, where should I go to college? I mean, can you imagine having to figure out what God wants in our lives by having to go kill a chicken? I mean, at that point, you've basically said, we have no idea what God wants, but at least we can have chicken for dinner after the ceremony. Zaxby's is our temple. We go there. What God is saying is that Joshua can be strong and courageous because God is a God who has communicated to us what it is that he wants from our lives. Joshua had a standard by which to live. God had revealed the type of life and society that he wanted. And if you go back and remember the law, that's the part that you skip over. If you go back and read that law, it's detailed, it's exact. This is the type of life that I want. This is the type of society that I want. The expectations are clear. They're there. And since those standards come from God, and since they are a reflection of who God is, as Joshua moved to do what God wanted, if he and the people lived by those standards, then they had a basis on which to be strong and courageous in what they did. Plans give us confidence. To go back to the football metaphor, the coach doesn't show up before the game and say, I'm not really sure. I don't know. We'll figure it out as we go along. They've been working all week, right, on a plan to say, here's how we're going to beat this team. Here's the plan that we're going to put in place. Doesn't always work for coaches, but that is what they do. They have a plan to go do it. And he says, the way to victory is if we follow this plan. Now, of course, the flip side of doing what's right in the sight of God and living a life according to the way that he wants us to live it is that if you're not doing what God wants, if you're not following what he wants, if you're not doing what is right in the eyes of God, don't be strong and courageous, be weak and afraid. Why? Because you can't fool God. You might fool a lot of people. You can fool your friends. You can fool your family. You might be able to fool a spouse, but you can't fool God. Of course, we still try. We still cover up. We're still like children who think that their parents don't understand the lies that they tell. What's going on up there? Nothing. Sounded like a herd of elephants was crossing the Serengeti. I tripped. Not that my son would ever do that. Okay? Do you really think parents don't understand those tricks? Why do they understand them? They did them. Why do professors know your tricks? They used them. There's nothing new. So you can't fool God. Remember, you can't be a fraud for God. You will be found out. You will be exposed. It's really just a matter of when. How much better it is to live a life that's pleasing to God, knowing he's on your side, and because of that, you can be strong and courageous. The third basis for the exhortation to be strong and courageous is in verse 9. Be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified. Don't be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now, why would the people and why would Joshua have been terrified or discouraged? Well, as wonderful as the promised land is, as flowing with milk and honey as the land might have been, it was not exactly land that was available on the market at that time. There were people there. There were people living on it. And they were not exactly open to immigration, legal, illegal, or any other means. And so I know Dr. Murray preached on a couple episodes in Joshua a couple weeks ago. And if you go to Joshua 12, there's a list of 31 kings that the Israelites had defeated up to that point. 31 kings by Joshua chapter 12, and even then there were still parts of the land that needed to be conquered. So Joshua knew there was going to be a lot of fighting, there was going to be a lot of violence as he led the people into the land. In fact, I don't know what Old Testament scholars think here, but Joshua might be the bloodiest book in the Old Testament in a lot of ways. And make a great video game. I'm thinking Call of Duty Promised Land. Okay. Not that I know anything about Call of Duty. So on the cusp of all this, as Joshua's thinking, yeah, this is really going to be tough. There's going to be hard work. This is going to be extremely difficult. God says to him, I'll be with you. And when God says, I'll be with you, he's not just saying, I'm going to take pleasure in watching you fail, right? I'm going to be with you to just sort of mock you as you stumble. No, that means I'm going to be with you. I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to take care of you. I know things are going to be tough. I know I'm asking a lot. However, just as I've always provided for you in the past, I'm going to continue to do that and continue to be by your side. So there's three reasons then to be strong and courageous. First, because of what God has done for his people in the past. Second, because of the fact that God has directed them as to what he wants in their lives. And third, because he will be with them through whatever they experienced. So what does it really mean to be strong and courageous? Well, when you look at this word strong and you see where it's used in the Old Testament, you see that often it is used in an exhortation before something happens. So it seems to have a sense of preparation about it. That is, you encourage someone to be strong before something happens so that they can do what's necessary to get prepared for it when it does happen. And along with that preparation comes the inner firmness and resolve to meet whatever challenge is out there. The knowledge that the challenge is coming becomes the motivator to prepare for it. So when God says, be strong to Joshua, he's saying something like, there's a challenge coming, get ready for it, and be prepared to meet it and to endure some difficult times. Then that word courageous. The word courageous really has a sense of action about it. Courage needs to be associated with some sort of action. Typically, we think about it on a battlefield or something of that nature. When I tell my wife I'm going to take a nap, she does not say, be courageous. Not much courage required to go take a nap. But when I think back, you know, we just celebrated the 911, celebrated, I don't know, we had the anniversary of 911. And I think about those firemen or policemen going up in those towers. That's courage. I want to think of our soldiers in Iraq or Afghanistan put their lives on the line. That's courage. And when I think about people from here who have gone out to brutal, difficult areas and put their lives on the line to witness for Christ, that is courage. That is doing something that takes bravery. And so God's telling Joshua to be courageous means that he is saying, when the time comes, be ready to act with bravery. It was something that Joshua and the Israelites were going to need very soon and for a long time. So how do we sort of take these exhortations and try to apply them to ourselves? How do we apply this to ourselves as individuals? First of all, I want to say, if you're trying to be a fraud for God, give it up. It's not going to work. You need to deal with whatever that issue is. CIU is a great place, but we're not perfect. There's a lot of great stuff that happens here, but people are people, and they struggle with a variety of things. And if there's something in your life that you know is not right, that you know is keeping you from what God, the way God wants you to walk, get rid of it. Now, if you've read The Inferno by Dante, but the eighth circle of hell in that fictional description of hell is for frauds. That's how serious fraud is. Pretending to be something that you're not. You're not fooling God. Why not fix it? Why not get it right? Why not get back on the path that God has for you? I urge you, if that's something that's going on in your life, come down here, meet with an advisor, meet with a faculty member, a pastor, a friend, confess it, make it right, get back on the path that God wants you to be on so that you can be strong and courageous, not afraid that you're going to be found out. But you might be going through some period of discouragement. I've been in education a long time, and I know that sometimes what happens is students come to a place, and I know some of your stories, and I know you have great stories about how God got you to CIU. God has done great things in many of your lives to make it possible for you to be here. But as you go through the semester, things start to happen. You have relationship trouble. You get sick. You find the courses are hard. Finances weigh on you, and you feel like quitting. And I want to say, who said it would be easy? Who said it would be easy? What follower of God has found it easy? Moses? Joshua? Paul? Peter? The apostles? None. It's not an easy thing to follow God. God doesn't promise us that it will be easy. And if we give up when things get tough, we have sort of put ourselves in the same position that we always criticize the Israelites for being in, not having the faith in God when they need to. Now, you might have a great year this year, and I hope that you do. You might land that dream job. You might meet the person of your dreams. You might get straight A's. But you know what? Likely as not, you're going to face some hard times. Maybe you're going through them right now. Maybe you lost a job. Maybe your spouse lost a job. You're having relationship problems in your marriage, maybe, in your family, maybe something at work. You might face an issue at work where your Christian beliefs put you in opposition to something that's going on. And we just need to remember, God uses all of those difficulties in our lives to bring us closer to Him and to use us to bring others closer to Him. So since we know those things are out there, just like Joshua knew, tough times are coming, we know tough times are coming. Be strong. Know that these things that can happen and make sure that you're prepared for them. And my question to you is, are you doing the things in your life now that will help you meet the challenges that we know you're going to face? Are you going to face spiritual struggles and battlefields in the months ahead? Now is the time to prepare. Now is the time to get ready. Now is the time to make sure that you're spiritually strong so when you face those struggles, you can do them in the way God wants you to. Athletes prepare for weeks and months for a game. Musicians prepare for months for a performance. You know the struggles are coming. You know the things that you need to do to be prepared for them. Let's go back to verse 7 here. Be strong and courageous. Obey the law. Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Are you doing those things to be ready for the struggles that are coming along? Be prepared. Be strong. Then when the struggles do come, be prepared to act with bravery. Act with the bravery that comes from the knowledge that God has helped you in the past, that He has given us the way that He wants us to live, and that He has promised to be with us wherever we go. What are the areas of your lives in the next few months that you might need some courage in? Is there someone you know that you need to have the courage to share the gospel with? That's bravery to do that. Be courageous. Is God calling you to serve Him in a new way, in a way that you never had even considered before, but now He's working on you and you know what He wants you to do? Do you have the courage to follow Him on that path? Be courageous. Is God asking you to radically trust Him for the resources you need to get your education? Sometimes the bravest act is doing that registration form for next semester or making the decision to come back, because it puts you in a place where you have to take an action of trust for God. And even at CIU, you can be faced with moral choices. You are faced with moral choices every day about how you're going to live your life. Now, I'm not the devil, really. But if I was, and I was sort of roaming the world seeking whom I might devour, and CIU came within my sights, where do you think I'd turn my attention? Right at you. You scare the devil. And he will do everything he can to bring you down. He will cause divisions. He will cause moral failure. He will try to get you off track. His attention will be on you. And in that case, since we know that struggle is going to be there, we need to be strong and courageous as we face it. As you make choices about how you're going to live your life, it's one of the main things you do in a place like this. How am I going to live my life? Be strong and be courageous. Be brave enough to make the choices that you know God wants you to make. God has acted for you in the past. He has brought you here through many ways and many different avenues and many great stories. He's been with you in the past. He's given you in that Word of God that you have the way that He wants you to live. He has given you the standards that we know that He wants. And He has said to us, I will always be with you. I will always be with you. And so we can be strong and courageous. Let's pray. Lord, again, I do want to just thank you for CIU. I thank you for the privilege of being here. I thank you for students and faculty and staff who love you. And Lord, as we're at a time in a semester where we need to just think about where we are and where we're going in the next couple months, I just want to pray for students as they go through these times. Lord, we know tough times are coming. We can't avoid them. You use them in our lives. Lord, help us to be prepared for them. Guide us, direct us, help us to focus on what's true. And then, Lord, as we find ourselves in those times, fill us with your Spirit. Help us to yield to you so that we can be courageous in the choices that we make every day. And we will thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.